Everyone needs a pastor. A visit to the pastor's study brings biblically faithful pastoral ministry to you and pastoral ministry from those with proven experience in Christian service. Our time together will be lively, sometimes controversial, always useful, and never dull. Welcome to the study of Pastor Bill Shishko.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you, and it's great to have you with us for today's visit to the pastor's study. Foreign missions, the enterprise of bringing the gospel to all the nations of the earth with the goal of making faithful followers of the King Savior Jesus. That's the very heart of what is commonly known as the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, says the resurrected Jesus Christ, just before his coronation, his ascension to sit at the right hand of the Father. Therefore, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, that is to do, that is to keep, all that I have commanded you. And lo, never forget this, always keep this in mind, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, that is what we know of as the gospel age. Now, this command and this promise have driven Christians and the Christian church to be about the work of missions, bringing the gospel to all people, regardless of race, color, ethnic origin, or cultural tradition. The Protestant Reformation brought with it a fresh emphasis on going to the world, not with a Christianity blended with worldly culture, but with the pure gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, all made known in the Holy Scriptures alone and perfectly. It ought to be the great object of our daily wishes, wrote the great Protestant reformer John Calvin, that God would collect churches for himself from all countries of the earth, that he would enlarge their numbers, enrich them with gifts, and establish a legitimate order among them. The 19th century brought an explosion of foreign missions interest and service, beginning with revivals in colleges and universities, many of which were Christian institutions, and also in seminaries. Now, that story, with its many missionary heroes, is utterly, utterly fascinating. It's a story we all should read and should be inspired by even today. The latter part of the 19th century in the United States was a time of mass immigration. Ethnic communities developed, especially in big cities like New York, Italians, Irish, Greeks, Jews, Chinese, and many other people groups formed. But they were largely confined to specific areas, ethnic enclaves, or in the worst case, ghettos. Most were deeply religious. Many were practicing Christianity in some form. Well, how things have changed a century and a half later. For many reasons, we've become a nation, and increasingly a world, of greater ethnic diversity and interchange. Even in more rural areas of the United States, there are now more than the expected Chinese, Mexican, and Italian restaurants, Thai, and Korean, and African, and Caribbean, and Indian, and South American cuisine abound. And with the food and the drink, we get to know the no longer foreign owners and workers who host and serve us. It's now not at all uncommon to have neighbors who are from other countries and other cultures. Schools, particularly in large urban areas, have become expressions of world geography and sociology, and each of our nation's big cities has become a mini United Nations. In New York City alone, nearly 40% of the population is composed of immigrants from foreign nations. They speak nearly 800 languages, making metropolitan New York the most linguistically diverse area in the world. And they bring with them hundreds of religious beliefs, traditions, and practices that are, well, very different than anything within the orbit of historic Christianity. Now, combine this with the growing secularism of our own culture, the stunning decline in the influence of historic Christianity in the church, and our nation's rapid adoption of principles and practices that are in many cases overtly hostile to the principles and practices of those who remain committed to historic Christianity. Well, isn't it true that as Americans committed to follow Christ faithfully, we increasingly find ourselves feeling like foreigners in a strange land? What is this picture? It's a picture of Christians and churches that have become foreign mission agents right in their own homeland. Now, that may be fearful to some, but when you really think about it, this is a grand opportunity for the kingdom of God. Now, missionaries will still go to foreign fields, but the foreign fields have come to us, making us all missionaries right here at home. So we need to start asking what that means and how we can seize the opportunity to do our part of the Great Commission right in our own neighborhoods. Our topic on today's Visit to the Pastor's Study is Lessons from Foreign Missions for Home Missions. And we have just the person to get us thinking about something that we're all going to be working on in the years ahead. After serving a thriving multinational congregation outside of Washington, D.C. for 13 years, Reverend Alter Carrico accepted a call to serve as a foreign missionary among the Karamojong people in northern Uganda. He and his family served there and learned many lessons over their 11 years in Karamoja, which is in the eastern part of Africa. Now, Pastor Al serves as the Associate General Secretary of Home Missions for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And he's our guest today on a Visit to the Pastor's Study, and we have a lot to talk about. Pastor Al, tell us a little bit of the background to this fascinating mission field, and welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. I appreciate the warm welcome you have given to me. So, yes, a little bit about the history. In the mid-1990s, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church was invited to work with the Presbyterian Church in Uganda, which is, as you say, in the eastern part of the country. And we were asked to help train church leaders and to plant churches. We sent a missionary family to the town of Mbali to labor there. And in time, an opportunity emerged for our mission to start a work in the northeast part of Uganda, a place called Karamoja, a remote, undeveloped, pre-literate region where there was a great need for the gospel. So once some very important preliminary work was done, mainly property acquisition and development, the OPC began its ministry in South Karamoja. The center of the work was, and still is, evangelism with a view towards forming an indigenous church. But the mission from the start was committed to engaging in mercy ministry as well. Uganda is among the poorest nations in the world, and Karamoja is the poorest region of Uganda. So we established an outpatient medical clinic from the start and then added well drilling and farming to the list of things we did to adorn the gospel with these good works of mercy and to provide some tangible help for our Karamojong neighbors. My calling was as an evangelist. Along with another ministerial colleague, I walked the villages sharing Christ with the people who lived there. We taught the gospel in a dozen or so village Bible studies, preached gospel messages at the clinic, and taught the Bible and catechism in local schools, as well as our own pre-primary school. We once estimated that the seed casting done in Karamoja touched more than what we called 1,000 WHUs, word hearing unit. Yeah, we made that term up. But over 1,000 pairs of ears heard the gospel every week and continue to do so in that place.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, we're thankful. We used interpreters, mostly young men. We discipled and continue to disciple with the hopes that they would be called by Christ to take office in his church one day. That hasn't happened yet, but that is our prayer, that indigenous leaders would be raised up in that place. So that's a flavor of how we started and what's cooking there now.
Well, you were 11 years among the Karamojong people, right?
Yes.
Okay, how was the ministry there not like the ministries you had in the United States of America?
Uh-huh. Well, Pastor Bill, life was very different, let me say. We lived at a very slow pace, first of all. And I'm from New Jersey. And I spent all of my U.S. ministry days in New York and D.C. suburbs. So let's just say that I'm not used to slow. But eventually, we all came to appreciate it, for the most part. In Karamoja, relationships mean everything. And time is not really viewed quantitatively. I can add that East Africans think about things in ways that are far different from what I know as someone raised in the West. I mentioned time, but money, marriage, friendship, everything is seen differently. And so we had to learn our neighbor's view of things, live accordingly to some extent, but surely we learned to respect them and understand them, even when their ways collided with ours. Now, as in the case here in the U.S., there's a lot of nominal Christianity in Karamoja. In fact, everyone there is already Christian, Pastor Bill. You could just ask them and they will tell you. But really, all that means is that people have had some contact with missionaries in the past, and we're told long ago that they are now Christian, but they don't know much about the faith they claim. And what they do know is usually not accurate according to the Bible. Now, what makes this different is that unlike here, people in Karamoja do not want to say, "I don't believe." In fact, they do not verbally disagree with what we as missionaries teach them. They never do. It's not polite to argue with missionaries. And besides, they've already been told that they are Christian. So I've shared the gospel with literally thousands of people in Karamoja. And with the exception of one Muslim friend who comes to mind, no one has ever disagreed with me, at least verbally. And frankly, it's a little maddening.
Yeah, this is exactly the – and so we won't hold it against you that you're from New Jersey. But this is exactly the opposite of what we deal with, at least in the metropolitan New York area, where it's not polite to argue. New Yorkers will argue about anything. So that's completely the opposite. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. We don't get a lot of pushback verbally, but, you know, in terms of lifestyle and core commitments that we see, it is not a Christian place. And so it's a little bit frustrating, frankly. But let me tell you, Pastor Bill, when the Spirit turns on the light, amazing transformation takes place. And we've seen it. And we long to see more and more of it.
Yeah, that's wonderful. When you said they're regarded as Christians, now they had been baptized by some branch of the Christian church before you came there?
Yes. Roman Catholic missionaries came in the 1930s, and they had a way of propagating their faith that was very broad, but appears not very deep. And so the people there, many of them are baptized, but they don't really know their own faith. They don't generally go to Mass. They don't know their catechism. And when asked simple questions, some very strange answers come from their lips. And they'll say things like, you know, Moses is the one who died on the cross. Or if I ask the question, can you tell me something about Jesus? More times than one, the response I received, oh, yes, he prayed to Mary. So there just isn't a lot of depth of content, even in the faith that they were told they now have.
Now, would you take these people, say, from the fact that they had been baptized and kind of worked to what it meant to be marked out in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or did you use another approach?
Well, that's a good question, and we did use many approaches, including that one. I mean, if someone says, yes, I'm a Christian, then what an opportunity to unpack that. What does that mean? What does it mean to have the name of Christ upon you? And the conversation is sometimes a bit awkward because there isn't a lot of response, but what an opportunity to present to them the gospel of peace. And let me tell you, Pastor, that everyone in Karamoja listens.
Yeah.
I mean, they're patient, respectful listeners. Now, whether they're absorbing or not, that's, you know, that can't be seen all the time. But they are very happy to have us come and to teach and to pray with them and to explain gospel texts to them. I can go to any village in Karamoja and virtually any office or schoolroom and say, I'd like to come and teach you something about the Bible, or I would like to pray for your family, and I will never, ever be refused.
Yeah, of course, now that is exactly the opposite of what we're dealing with here, in which it's hard to get a hearing for the gospel. And I think most significantly, they don't have as many voices speaking at them as we do here. They don't have the internet, I would imagine, and podcasts and television.
Correct.
And radio. I mean, I would assume they're pretty much bereft of those things.
That's true. It is a simpler life on many levels and attractive to a very high degree.
Yeah. Well, I think of one experience just south of you in Mbale when I was there and doing evangelism, and the missionaries who were there noted that once Mbale got one of these game centers, or the kids could come and they could play a jukebox and this kind of thing, which for us is quite primitive, that took away a lot of the entertainment that became available, took away a lot of interest to the gospel. You think of the parable of the sower and the cares of this life. Well, Pastor Al, before our break, in an article that's going to be published soon, you said everything seems different when you're speaking about life among the Karamojong. People in East Africa think differently about so many ordinary things. Of course, you mentioned this in the article. You've got money, time, marriage, friendship, and more. And it takes a little skill and a lot of patience to navigate around the differences. Now, when I heard you say that, and I had previously read this, quite frankly, I thought about our own country and ministering here. The culture thinks differently about ministry, marriage, and friendship for our culture is a Facebook friend, which really bears no resemblance to the historic understanding of friendship. So talk a little bit about lessons you learned dealing with everything being different among the Karamojong.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a very good question. I like to say that as a result of my time in Uganda, the world seems much bigger to me in one sense and much smaller at the same time. You know, bigger as I reflect on people I knew existed but never saw until I became their neighbor. And as I multiply my experience living in a different culture by the number of cultures I will never see in my lifetime, it makes me just marvel at the vastness of humanity and at God's creative beauty. But the world became smaller in a way, because no matter where you go, how many people you meet, what experiences come, there are two great realities that connect us all: sin and the gospel. We are all in trouble with God, and we are all loved by God and invited to believe in His Son for our everlasting blessing. Hallelujah. Those two great realities explain so much we see in our world. And so when I'm laboring, say, in Karamoja, and I find these ways of living that are in conflict with what I'm used to as an American citizen, someone who grew up in New Jersey, I think to myself, I need to understand them. I need to appreciate them. I need to be careful not to correct them, because these are just cultural patterns that may or may not be informed by biblical principle, and then I need to gently teach them things that I think are important for them to learn even as a culture. And some of those things would be God's definition of marriage as one man and one woman eternally bound, right?
Right.
Like the important joining together of the profession of faith with the lips and the belief in the heart that Jesus died and rose from the dead. Like their animistic traditional religion, which is opposed to the biblical worldview. I came to understand it. I came to appreciate why this culture was so captured by the fear of the unseen world. But at the same time, I learned to patiently bring the gospel of peace to bear upon their views of things and upon their very lives. So you see the differences. You feel the frustration that can come because people in Karamoja didn't have watches and they were never on time for things and so on. Well, you know, that I can relax because it's just my, you know, New York City sense of needing to fill every 30 seconds with sound and activity.
Yeah, I noticed how you adapted yourself to the situation. You referred to yourself from New York City. So,
I live close by.
There you go. That's right. It's good enough. We're going to take a little break for the voice of a visit to the pastor's study, and we'll be back. If you'd like to call the station and get on the air at 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. Back in a minute.
That great city, New York. Metropolitan New York is the largest city in the United States. And with a population of over 20 million people, Metro New York is one of the largest cities in the world. And what's more, Metro New York is home to people from every nation of the world. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. But churches faithful to historic Reformation Christianity in the Metro New York area are few and far between. The mission fields of Metro New York are America's richest and most neglected. Reformation Metro New York is an agency by which the Orthodox Presbyterian Church is planting and developing biblically faithful churches and church ministries in the Metro New York area. Through Reformation Metro New York, you can help promote the outreach of this program, a visit to the pastor's study, and other projects designed to further the ongoing reformation of the church. That and church planting are the great passions of Reformation Metro New York. For more information, check out the website at reformationmetrony.org, where you'll get a personal look at the ministries of the churches, pastors, evangelists, and teachers of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the area, and you'll learn how you can be a part of our labors. We need your help. Here's the site again, reformationmetrony.org. Thanks for your interest and your help. Remember that great city, New York. To reach Metro New York is to reach the world. Now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you this afternoon with Pastor Al Tricarico, who served for 11 years among the Karamojong people in East Africa, the northern part of Uganda, and now serves as Associate General Secretary for Home Missions for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. And we're going to get to this, lessons for home missions from foreign missions, but if you'd like to call the station, we'd love to get your input, questions on the topic of lessons from foreign missions for home missions. Phone number 631-955-5400. Pastor Al, I want to get more specifically into the topic for today. But just one thing you mentioned before the break, you were talking about everything is different. Different view of time, different view of money, different view of marriage, different view of friendship. I would assume you don't attack, if I could put it that way, those things first. Those seems to me to be the kind of the blooming of a flower. Isn't it right in your evangelism that the first thing you do is go to heart issues, root issues, about the people's relationship with Christ?
Well, that is exactly right. That's good evangelism, isn't it? You know, we don't want to make people think that the gospel is going to church on time. So what we want people to learn is that they are needy and broken and loved by God, invited to believe. And so we want to dig a little to see what's going on inside. And you know, when the heart is changed, then there's an openness to consider some of these other things.
Yeah, very important. It does seem that a lot of Christianity, not just like what we deal with in our own country, but around the world, can end up becoming a form of moralism. Now, people get more upset about somebody's view about the way they use their credit cards than to what their heart relationship is to Christ. So I appreciate you clarifying that. All right, well, Pastor Al, let's kind of plunge into the topic for today, because you're now working with home missions. And what are the big lessons you learned from your foreign mission experience that you would impart to home missionaries and to those doing evangelism on our home mission field that, as we noted in the monologue, has virtually become a foreign mission field?
Yes, and it will be more and more. This is such a great question, and it's one that I will continue to mull over as I think about my present call, which I've been at for only about a year. I want to share just a few lessons that really are very personal and have much to do with personal witness. And I believe they apply not just to Christian witness in light of the current migrant crisis and the growing numbers of people from other cultures entering our land, which we should welcome, but also our current culture, as you have already described to some degree, the one we live in now, very secular. I think these apply to everything. So I want to give you a few. Number one, be patient with people and with culture. Again, Western culture, as well as majority world culture that our new friends are bringing as they come to relocate in our own place. I feel that the Lord was teaching me patience through living in a place that is just very different from my own. I've mentioned that already. And it seems, Pastor Bill, that American culture is moving in directions that would be near unrecognizable to our grandparents. And I truly believe that we need to be patient as we bring the gospel to bear upon people who think so differently, but who at the same time are loved by God and invited to believe in the Lord Jesus. Open conversation, a listening ear, respectful engagement. These are our duties, and we should practice them well, even if we don't receive the same. Christian witness is more than being a nice person. Of course, we have a message to bring, but it's certainly not less. Is it okay to be nice while we deliver the message of Christ? And may I also say that we can be genuinely interested in the opinions of others and not undermine our Christian witness. The gospel message will offend. Let it be so. But let's not let our own unmannerly ways hinder our witness. And let me also say that the gospel is not only offensive, it's also attractive, isn't it? What does Jesus mean by saying that others will see our good works and praise our Father in heaven? By the way, that's what we want. We don't want to receive praise. We want our Father to receive that praise. So I think one thing I would say, I'm learning patience. I'm learning more and more. I'm not there yet. I want to learn all the more. Secondly, slow down and be a good neighbor. I'm not sure how well this imports among some, but I came to enjoy the slower life pace in Uganda and to appreciate the relational power of greetings and tea and personal conversation. What seems to be the smallest gesture can have an enormous impact. And this will be the case more and more as the church learns to serve in the midst of our current migrant crisis. And while some of us live in neighborhoods where folk don't appear interested in friendship, I wonder if there are disguised longings that we as believers can satisfy. So let's not be among those who are not interested in friendship. Jesus was a friend for sinners. We sing that, right? Let's mean it.
Yeah.
And let's be a neighbor.
Right.
And the third thing is related. Practice hospitality. It's the command of Scripture, isn't it? Welcome friends and welcome strangers. The Karamojong, they taught me this. They are a very hospitable people. Relationships are so important to them. So they are always happy, and I think genuinely honored, when people come to visit, usually unannounced. And hospitality is also a great gospel metaphor. What has Jesus done for us but to welcome us into the family of his Father? Because of his death and resurrection from the dead, we have a place at his table, a place given to us and reserved for us in heaven. So let's invite people to the best table, Christ's table. And I'm here to tell you that people who come from other places love this. And we need to be ready to open our hearts and our homes to strangers. That is a commitment we ought to have because Jesus said we ought to have it.
Yeah, I cannot think of a better 3-point outline. I really want to emphasize that, and then we need to take just a break here, and we have a phone coming in. But this is fascinating, Pastor Al. Remember again to be patient with people, how we need to learn that. That comes by listening, respectful engagement, wonderful words. Things will develop in a later program on evangelism. A slowdown and being a good neighbor, especially those of us here in New York, need to learn the first part, particularly to slow down, and then also practicing hospitality. And for all of our listeners, you can really put the nature of the gospel under that one word, hospitality. God not only invites us into his house, but he invites us to be adopted in his own son when we come to him. So those are glorious themes. Our topic today is lessons from foreign missions for home missions. And we have Pastor Al Chercarico with us. Pastor Al, having served on domestic field and then foreign field and now working with home missions, ideal for this. We'll be, in just a moment, we'll come back. We have a call actually from Naples, Florida, interestingly. But just let me take a moment. We're about church on this program. Pastor Al and I are parts of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, but we're just one of many faithful denominations in the United States of America, and our concern is that you be in a faithful Christian church. But just so you know about the churches that are particularly producing this program, this is a ministry, A Visit to the Pastor's Study. It's a ministry of the Presbytery of Connecticut and Southern New York of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We have churches in Hamden, Connecticut, Mount Vernon, New York, Fresh Meadows, Queens, right here on Long Island, Franklin Square, and Syosset in Bohemia. And if you're in those areas, then we'd love to have you visit those churches on the Lord's Day. If you'd like actually more information about the churches and where they are, I would direct you to our website, and that is www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. You can just Google in Visit the Pastor's Study and visitthepastorsstudy.org, a very specific title. That will give you a lot more information about this program, about plans we have ahead, and about specific churches. And if you'd like to email me personally, I'd love to get your emails. It's real easy. It's visitpastorbill, all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. And you can now reach A Visit to the Pastor's Study right here on the radio. And not just WLIE, but simulcast over Redeemer Broadcasting Network of stations. You can call 631-955-5400, 631-955-5400. And I would imagine, since Naples, Florida, is not in the range, the excellent range, I might add, of WLIE radio, Eric in Naples is probably listening on the Redeemer Broadcasting Network. Eric in Naples, Florida, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you with us. So tell us a little bit about yourself down in Naples. You want some of our snow?
Yeah, I saw you all got hit by quite a storm up there. I don't miss that at all.
Okay. Tell us what you do in Naples, Florida.
I'm a church planter here for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I've been here 3.5 years now, and we're seeking to establish a healthy, vibrant, biblically-based church in East Naples, which is to the east of downtown, south part of town. And so we've been sowing seed and casting bread upon the waters and praying for the Lord to raise up a church in this area.
Now tell us how you do, because you're in a very multicultural area, I would assume, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there's people here from all over the country. Naples is primarily transplants. There's a small remnant of people that were born in Naples, but most people are from out of town. Some are from all over the United States. A lot of people from Europe, Germans and Italians and Belgians and British love coming here. It's cheaper to come here than the French Riviera. And then we've got people who've transplanted here from all over Latin America and the Caribbean.
So wow, you really do have it sounds like a microcosm of New York. So how do you reach out to the various groups, Eric in Naples, Florida?
Well, we reach out here just the same way people reach out in any part of the country. I think that the Lord's plan is simple, that we love our neighbor and tell them the good news about Christ and what he's done on the cross to save us from our sins. And that involves then building relationships with people that you rub shoulders with every day. You know, I think a lot of times people, we kind of let them blend into the landscape around us, and we don't notice that there's people that are in need of hope. And so it's just a matter of continuing, as you start to build a core group of people and who want to be a part of a new church, that you keep teaching and preaching to them about the love of Christ and their need to reach out with the gospel to their neighbor.
So you deal with a large Caribbean community there, I would assume. You mentioned Caribbean people.
They are. I mean, there's people here from all over, but particularly because the Caribbean is just a hop,
yep,
skip, and a jump,
jump away.
Here.
All right,
there's Haitians and Cubans and Puerto Ricans and Hondurans and Dominicans and Mexicans, and I love that. And Jamaicans, I love that Caribbean mix that's here.
Now, do you speak any of those languages, Pastor Eric?
I'm fluent in Haitian Creole. I've spent about 35 years going to Haiti. I was in school there on study abroad. So that's a big door opener for me, because I run into Haitians every day at the grocery store, at the big box stores like Home Depot, random people around, even where our little church meets here in East Naples. There's a car dealership next door that's run by Haitians, and there's some folks cutting hair a couple doors down that are Haitians. And in that shop, there's Puerto Ricans and Dominicans. There's every opportunity to speak Haitian Creole. And then I do speak Spanish, not as well as Haitian Creole, but I can get by and fake it some.
Yeah,
so.
Sure. Well, and of course, that's for many people, this is off-putting, but for you, you have a fascination with all of these different cultures, I would assume.
Yeah, I do. Actually, my grandmother's sister, my great aunt, was a missionary in China. And when I was a little kid, she would come home from Hong Kong on spring or on her vacations and such, and I would hear her speak in Chinese, and so I would pretend I was speaking a foreign language. And that just, I always was intrigued by people from other countries. My dad traveled around the world, and we had international guests in our home, so I've always had a real heart and love for people from other countries.
Yeah, yeah. Just that's. I want to ask both of you a question. We also still have Pastor Alcher Carrico on the line, and it would also be a Pastor Eric from Naples, Florida. A couple things. One, just using the names of people when they have their sales tags on or name tags on, the clerk or the one that's at the checkout counter or whatever. Just calling a person, mentioning the person's first name is huge. Our Lord knows his people by name, and names are important. The other is where we can pick up little bits of the language. My, that's so important, even to be able to say to a Spanish-speaking person, ¿cómo está?, that kind of a thing. Now, let me ask you both a question, because the areas, the people from areas in which you have ministered or are ministering to now, are areas that have been influenced in various ways by the demonic. And maybe without becoming unduly speculative, what's the place of the demonic as you deal with the challenges of foreign missions, and how might that apply to ministry outreach in our nation? Let me begin, and Pastor Eric, stay on the line, but Pastor Al, have you thought much about that? I'm sure you ran into those things in Africa.
Yes, in fact, we have run into things like that. I know of only one occasion when direct demonic influence was suspected. It turned out that some really bizarre behavior was caused by a case of cerebral malaria, but one of our missionaries wondered what was going on at the time and rebuked the devil in his prayer for the man, which I think was fitting given the context. It turned out to be something that was explained differently. The work of the evil one seems to be to capture people and enslave them to the fear of the unseen world. In Karamojong culture, everything that happens has a spiritual cause. Good things, bad things, and spirits are everywhere in their view. In the mountains, the trees, the rivers. And when bad things happen, people consult the Nimurok, the witch doctors, to learn what to do to satisfy the spirits. And sacrifices are usually called for. Sometimes relocation, we witnessed a whole village move 100 meters because they believe the ground was cursed under their original homes. And we don't tell people that the spirits don't exist. In fact, we believe they do. But we also believe and urge our friends to believe that there is one who is Lord over all of them. And if you have Jesus, you are not to fear anyone.
Yeah, excellent.
So it's the same solution, even though we don't understand the circumstances, right?
Yeah, it's excellent. Of course, that was a theme. And then, Pastor Eric, I want to get your input, too. That was a theme, a very much a theme in the early church, Christus Victor. Mm. And as the church went among the barbarian tribes and they saw some of the influences of the demonic, that was the emphasis that they would make, is that Christ has disarmed these principalities and powers by his work on the cross. Pastor Eric, what about in your situation, dealing with particularly people within the Caribbean area where everyone knows there can be active involvement of the demonic and things. Does that impact your labors at points?
Well, occasionally here I do run into Haitian people who, I mean, if they were born and raised in Haiti, then they think very spiritually about the world, just like you hear from Pastor Al. Because Haiti is like a little chunk of Africa, broke off and floated over to the Caribbean. I took a Nigerian friend there, and he couldn't believe how African so many of the things out in the country seem. But they think very much about the unseen world, and voodoo is very strong in Haiti. And even if you're not a voodooist, even if you're a Christian born and raised in the church, there are those fears, as Pastor Al was talking about, those fears sometimes creep in that maybe there is some power there that I need to be afraid of. And so I've known of people who are solid Christians that try to raise money to go pay off the voodoo priest because someone told them a hex was put on them. And so I've encountered a few of those instances here with the Haitian transplants, particularly some that I do a jail ministry, and I've met some Haitians in the jail who've had some dealings with voodoo and voodoo priests here.
Yeah, and I wonder, just thinking out loud, it seems that in our culture, there will be more of this as time goes on, with people increasingly fascinated with the occult, things that are tied in with the occult, even Satan worship. I mean, things that we would never have thought of on our own land. And it would seem that, again, we've got to be very careful with this. Sometimes people can put more of an emphasis on the demonic than on Christ,
right,
who's conquered the demons. But, Pastor Eric, just because we're going to have to break in just a moment, I appreciate your calling. It's great to get the input of another church planter. For church planters out there that are listening, give them a couple quick pieces of advice.
I guess the advice I would just do the main things, the plain things that God has said in his word. That we our confidence is in Christ, who said, I will build my church. So we preach Christ, and we use his methods, and we're confident that he will do it. And we should pray for the Lord each day to build his church. And he's promised it, so we go forth, you know, with confidence that he is building his church. And If he's the one building it, we give him the glory. Make sure it's a Christ-centered work, because that's where the power is to see lives changed, and that's where the hope is for the forgiveness of sins and the resurrection of the body. That's our biggest need in all the world.
That's wonderful, Pastor Eric. Thanks so much for calling. And all of you out there, keep that confidence. The Lord promises to honor his word, so use it. We will be back after this message from the voice of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
It's not enough to listen to pastors on the radio or to watch them on television. Everyone needs a biblically faithful pastor, and everyone needs a biblically faithful church. A Visit to the Pastor's Study is a ministry of the Orthodox Presbyterian Churches in the metropolitan New York area. We're no substitute for a faithful pastor in a local church, but we are a supplement. Visit our website, www.visitthepastorsstudy.org, and you'll find the ministry of this program extended right to your electronic device. Here you'll find archives of past programs, a weekly message from Pastor Bill's Pastor's Post, helps for pastors, helps for congregation members, material for officer training, and much more. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. And we also invite you to contact the host of this program, Pastor Bill Shishko. You can email him at visitpastorbill@gmail.com. He'd love to hear from you so that he can bring his pastoral ministry to you personally. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com. Remember, everyone needs a pastor. And now back to today's edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study.
Pastor Bill Shishko here with you. If you'd like to call, we have a few minutes left, but it would have to be a quick call, 631-955-5400. I have Pastor Al Tricarico with us, who works now with Home Missions with the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Pastor Al, let's say that you get called to do church planting or to serve as a pastor in another very multinational, multicultural area of the United States of America. You may have covered this already, but how would your foreign missions experience actually affect your work in that new call?
That's a good question. I don't imagine that such a call is coming at this stage in my life, but it could. But I do want to say that I would personally desire a call that would involve direct ministry to migrant neighbors, immigrants as well as refugees. And I would love to be useful to the cause through loving people from other places and helping others catch that vision and learn how really easy it is to do. That is to relate to people from other places. I don't think that I would feel this so strongly were it not for my time in Uganda. Another thing to say is that living with the Karamojong taught me the importance of listening. And this is a lesson that applies to all ministry, really, doesn't it? People want to be heard and understood. And I realize that as a gospel minister, I have a message. But Pastor Bill, why do I have to do all the talking? You know,
you're the guest.
Sometimes I wonder, after I think about a conversation I've had, if I'm under this delusion that I learn more by what I say than what I hear. And that's not right. So it's a lesson that I received and continue to learn. Good. But a listening ear, in my view, is very good ministry.
Well, thank you. Hopefully I've had a good ministry to you. I've had a listening ear to you and probably. And I don't say it all the time on the radio because amens can be distracting, but I was amening everything you were saying. I think one thing that I would add, and I would just highlight the importance, first of all, loving people. I mean, just loving people as people, certainly being patient and listening. I love your language, respectful engagement, rather than writing people off. I mean, you know, sinners sin, and don't write people off when they come up with ideas that are, as Christians we see, are off the wall or even dangerous, but listen to them. And what I have found out is that the more you listen to what people talk about their faith, their religious commitments, is usually the term I use, they end up in some way or another dealing with issues that bear on redemption. They may not use the word guilt, but they're talking about guilt. They may not use the word shame. You mentioned fear, which is a big one. And once we can tap into what's something of what's in people's hearts, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, then we can start dealing not with the cut flowers of marriage and friendship and money and those kinds of things, but really get to the heart of the matter, because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Well, Pastor Al, we've got just a minute. Any parting words? You have church planters out there. You've got about a minute or so, a couple minutes. What do you want to impart to them in addition to what you've just said? And I'm listening with listening ears.
Well, it's very difficult for me to improve on what Pastor Eric has already said, because that's what we're about. We're about giving the word of life to people and praying for a positive harvest response. That's what church planting is, really. Now, there are other things that we do, but that's the main thing. So we want to make the main thing the main thing. But let me just also echo Pastor Bill, what you have already said, the importance of love. That is how we will be known, and that's how we ought to be known. Love among the brethren and loving the stranger who comes in. And let's not give in to the counsel of fear, thinking that someone who may not speak perfect English or maybe from a different sort of social class and has just come from a different country, that somehow that difference really means anything. This person who has come into my life is loved by God, and I am to love him as Christ has loved me, and to bring to him the best kind of service. And that is love in the name of Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Pastor Al, so much. Let me just add this. Here's the preacher coming out in me. We are in a culture in our own land that is increasingly, on all sides of the political spectrum, a culture of hate and hatred. That is scary. And please do not succumb to that, regardless of what your political views are. And the best way to not succumb to that is to pray earnestly for the fruit of the Spirit, which above all else is love. Love is giving yourself for the good of another, and we all need to start there in this lesson of bringing foreign mission lessons to home missions work. Thanks, Pastor Al Tricarico, for your presence with us today. We've come to an end of another visit to the Pastor's Study. My thanks to Reverend Al Tricarico for being my guest today. I would love to get your feedback on your questions or your questions and any feedback or questions I can pass on to Pastor Al. Email me, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. That's visitpastorbill@gmail.com, because I would really enjoy being in contact with you. Remember, tomorrow's the Lord's Day. Be sure to set apart time to worship the Lord in a church that is faithful to the Word of God. Remember that everyone needs a pastor, and this Pastor Bill would love to hear from you. It's Visit Pastor Bill, all one word, visitpastorbill@gmail.com. And if you'd like to learn more about the program, it's Visit the Pastor's Study, visitthepastorsstudy.org, visitthepastorsstudy.org. Let's pray together. Our God, now we ask that you would give to all of us listening that spirit that is willing to become all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Grant us wisdom to know how to do that. Grant us the grace to do that, and honor what we do to the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to A Visit to the Pastor's Study, a ministry of Reformation Metro New York. Our website is www.reformationmetrony.org. Again, that's www.reformationmetrony.org. For more information on the program, check out our website at www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. That's www.visitthepastorsstudy.org. Listen in next week at 12 noon for another edition of A Visit to the Pastor's Study. Remember, everyone needs a pastor.